One of the aspects of Hanukkah that maybe doesn't get quite as much attention as other parts is the recital of Mizmor Shechanukas of Ayis of David at the end of Tefillah. Maybe one of the reasons why it doesn't get the same attention is hopefully not because it's at the end of Tefillah, but because it blends so naturally into the Shir Shel Yom. According to the Vilna Gaon, it's the only Shir Shel Yom we're supposed to say. But it blends so naturally because the theme is Chanukas Habayis, and these are the days where we remember the Chanukas Habayis and Tam L'Chashmanayim. So it makes a lot of sense. But at the same time, because it makes so much sense, and it fits perfectly on Hanukkah, as we described, it makes you wonder, as Hanukkah now concludes, we go back to the rest of the year, so why is it that the very same Kapitel Tehillim is also the beginning of Tefillah every single day? What's the Shaychus? It's true, some point to the fact that you have Pesukim in there, Leboker Rina, Zamr L'Hashem Chasidav, Leman Yizmer Chachovah, those are all introductions to what ensues, the Pesukim of the Zimra. But if you go through Tehillim, there's many, many Pesukim that basically say the same thing, introducing Zimra and Shira. What is it? What is it that makes this particular parak so uniquely relevant to the beginning of Tehillah every single day? So let's begin with the Ramban. Ramban is at the end of Masechta Megillah. Last parak there, Mishnayos, talk about a community who, the community needs to sell shul, or other items such as Sefer Torah and the like. Question is, who can sell them, what they can buy with the money that they receive in return. All those questions are dealt with in that parak. And the Shonim asked, how can it be? How can it be we find so much discussion in the Gemara about Kedushas Beis HaKnesses? How can it be that a town can simply sell a shul? Where else do we find an old halacha, an article that has Kedusha, Hekdish, a Korban, and just get up and sell it? Where does the Kedusha go? It can't be Pachavichti. We don't even find the mechanism, some sort of pigeon that takes place when the sale is made. Just a decision by the community or the community leaders to sell the shul. How does it work? How can that be mutar? Rabban explains as follows. He says that the truth is, the term Kedusha, in the context of Beis HaKnesses, has to be understood a little bit differently. It's not like Kedusha Sefer Torah, Kisvei HaKodesh, where the Kedusha actually inheres. There, it's a special din. We'll get back to that in a moment. But when it comes to Beis HaKnesses, it's really the din of Huktzel L'Mitzvoso that we find throughout Shas, throughout Shulchan Aruch. For example, Simon Chavav, Shulchan Aruch, talks about Chutei HaTzitzis. He says as long as the Chutei HaTzitzis are in use, namely, that they're mechuber to a beged, so they're dinim. They're dinim, they can't be used for other purposes. That's Bizei Mitzvah. Same reason the Gemara says in Shabbos you can't count money in front of the Neres Chanukah. It's Bizei Mitzvah. However, when the designated time for that mitzvah has elapsed or concluded, i.e. that the tzitzis have been removed from the beged, or the candles, Lacha Chatzisho, Mikra Din, any tashmish becomes mutter. It's mutter. Tashmish and mitzvah is rokin, Chazal said. The status of the Cheftesh mitzvah at that point is downgraded. There's no inherent Kedusha in those items, so their haktzah extends only as long as they're needed and desired to be used for the mitzvah. Similarly, the rights of Ramban is the nature of Kedusha Beis HaKnesses. Essentially, a shul is also merely a cheftesh mitzvah. It's like a lulav or an esrog, tashmish mitzvah. As long as it's in use, so that status permeates the Beis HaKnesses, and the environs demand a certain reverence. The functions of that building, that room, are limited to those that are consistent with the designation as a makom tefillah, and of other holy pursuits. However, when the community as a whole, the Zayin Tuvei Ha'ir, whomever it may be, when they get together and they decide that the Beis HaKnesses will no longer serve as the Tzibur's makom tefillah, so memela, that decision is capable of removing the status without a pigeon. The mechira is only necessary to formalize that decision, but fundamentally, the statement that this is no longer going to be maintained with that same role as a makom tefillah is like every other tashmish mitzvah, again, where the mitzvah use has ceased, the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is likewise no longer extant. When you write Sefer Torah, Tefillah, and Mezuzos, so there the Kedusha stems from the words, from the Shemas of Hashem, that are inscribed on the cloth, as the Rav explained so beautifully in the Yortzei Shirim. The significance of the Kedusha there exists immediately, and it exists permanently, even when those items are not in use. But the Beis HaKnesses is entirely different. What we refer to as Kedushas Beis HaKnesses actually stems from us, the Mispalim Shem, and from us alone. You say, Hashem Ahavti Ma'on Beis Secha, a shul, or for that matter, Beis Medrash, in a similar vein, is a Mokom Ashros HaShchina. but it's only our decision as the tzibur to imbue it with that status by devoting the room or the building for that purpose that invites the Shechina. In theory, if the tzibur would wake up one morning and change his mind, the stage would now be set to remove that status, that kedusha. Perhaps there's a reason why we say Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis to David at the beginning of tefillah. Every day, when Yid comes into shul and puts on his towels and tefillin, starts to daven, he's essentially making a statement as part of a tzibur to dedicate and rededicate the shul, to maintain the haktzah, to preserve the kedushas beis hakneses. And when you think about it, it's a tremendous koach, because all the dinim, many, many halachos in Shulchan Aruch that establish the strict rules for behavior in the shul, all that comes because we, the tzibur, choose to daven one more time, one more day in that same place. So as such, on some level, every single morning calls for a Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis. Because a Mikdash Ma'at, right then and there, experiences, I guess we can call it here, a reinvestiture. Because if we would cease to use that place as a Makom HaTfilah, it's like an Esrog after Sukkos. It's like Chanukah candles. La'achar Shetichla Regem Nashuk. So we start the morning with Mizmor Shir to remind us that if we faithfully dedicate our Makom HaTfilah to Avodah Shebelev, we do in fact achieve a form of Chanukah Sabayis. And without much extension, it's in the Ramban also, it should remind us that when we enter the Beis Medrash a little bit while later, for morning Seder, the Talmud Torah of that new morning Seder also is a rededication and a reinvestiture of the Beis Medrash as well. Both sides, there's a little more here than Misi'ai. According to Ramban, so davening here or learning there, it's a designation, doesn't at all endow a dim kedusha where you are. Nevertheless, a roshem, an impression is still left behind. Maaseh Shehayah, just for the sake of illustration. Many svarim, you can see it in Derech Sicha, and Rabbi Yashiv has it also in his sefer on Al Torah. Many svarim record a story of Rav Shmuel Weintraub, the Navardic Rosh Yeshiva before the war. He was traveling once to Europe, and he stopped by chance in Vilna to daven mincha. As he was in his follow, suddenly he was overtaken and overpowered by an inspiration, the likes of which he only felt Ni'il on Yom Kippur. He had no idea what happened. Later he asked around people in town, and they told him that unknowingly, he sat in the Mokum Kavua of the Vilna Gaon. The Kedusha of the Groz Avoda left an imprint that was still palpable and tangible in that very same place a century later. It's not just Tzvila, it's B'nai Torah, the extension of the Beis Medrash, like we said before. We have to recognize that Talmud Torah also leaves its mark. Again, as an illustration. One Friday night, Chazon Ish was walking through the streets of Bnei Brak in conversation with an Avreich, talking, learning, and suddenly the Chazon Ish stopped. And as if in a reverie, he smiled. And the Chazon Ish came back to reality, so the Avreich asked him, Rebbe, what happened? Chazon Ish responded that earlier that afternoon, two Bachrim stood right there in that place, and they were talking and learning. Hours later, Friday night, the Chazon Ish, B'kdushaso B'taraso, was able to be nena from the impact that those bachrim left with their Torah on that makom, in the middle of the street. So these are maaseh, but the underpinnings of what they describe and what they demonstrate stretches back thousands of years to what Chazal point out throughout Bereishis and other places as well. For example, Yaakov Avinu on his way to Haran backtracks to return to Beis El to daven there, as Rashi says, "Efshet shavarti amakom shpalu avosai vospalaltibo yodai telemeder b'chazar Beis El v'kafsul adera." Rav Dessler explains the Chel Gimel that it was this very Nakuda, the Chashivas of the Mokom as a place where the Avos davened, that gave it a special status that Yaakov could not pass over. Rabbeinu Avram ben Aramim says the similar Hakpada existed to daven at Be'er L'Chai Roi. Rav Shor writes that this was really an agenda of the Avos in various places to infuse this other sort of Kedusha into locations that would have enduring effects long into the future for other people who visited there. So obviously was this the Avos. Explains the Sfas Emes, and Vayetze, Manorah Mokamahu, Yaakov Avinu, he woke up, and immediately he attributed the Gilui that he experienced in his sleep to the place where he slept, Har Moria, and not to his own credit, but the Mokam. The first message for us on both sides is to appreciate the koach we have through the daily Chanukah Sabayis of our holy spaces in Yeshiva. It's true, maybe we can't do it like the Gaon, maybe we can't perceive it as overtly and as readily as the Chazon Ish with our gashmius fog lenses, but it's there. And moreover, the effect of Kedusha that we leave on our makom when we get up is real. The more we invest in our makom tefillah, it actually serves to pay us back and strengthen our tefillah the next time we come to daven there. If we show up to the Beis Medrash to learn with fire, with passion, enthusiasm, focus, and gishmak, so there's a kedusha that's soaking right into the seat where you're sitting right now. You come back tomorrow for the next Seder, it's going to be there to help you. And it's going to be there to elevate you and make the next Seder even better. Maybe that's why we take our seats in the Beis Medrash so seriously. There's a Pirush Mishnayos in Masechta Yadayim. The Rambam writes as follows. Bo Bayom, when Rabbi Gamliel was removed and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was made the Rosh Yeshiva, famous story, Gemara Brachas Daf Chav Ches, Rabbi Gamliel insisted on remaining in the Yeshiva, Mibnei Bittul Torah. Brek Moshe Shmuel Shapiro. Would it be that bad if Rabbi Gamliel went home that day to learn? Of all days. Imagine just like you and me, for us, kind of awkward, of all days, to stay in Yeshiva. And, you know, just after you've been deposed and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is there in the front of the room in the Mizrach. Okay. It's not like we would suspect that if Gamliel went home, he would be mevatel the time. Some of you learn at home also, of course. Explains the Rambam, lo nimna atmo milovel beis hamedrash, because from Gamliel, missing out on the unique siyata d'shmai of being there in the beis hamedrash with the avir of the beis hamedrash, that would be bitter. That would be bitter. To paraphrase with the words of the Eish Kodesh, Chofetz Chaim tells me them, it says, ki chutz mizeh shamakom shatam yachid l'torah, miskadesh umesugol yosu l'torah. There you have it. It's not just Litvish HaMaisim. It's Hasidus also. It's a widespread minhag to make a Chanukah Sabayis when you purchase a new home. Some hold constitute the Sudas Mitzvah, at least in Eretz Yisrael. What's the point? What's the point? So some say that the goal is to get off, so to speak, on the right foot. The first vibes that are absorbed by the walls of your bias, it should be vibes of brachos, of Torah, of Shiros V'Sishbachos. Derech Agav, Ibn Ezra on Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis of David, he says it's talking about David's personal home, his palace. Also, a Chanukah Sabayis is necessary, a Mizmor. It's a new pshat in Pirkei Avos. Yei Beischa Beis Vad L'Chachamim. I have to thank my Shir for this. A new dimension of value in having Talmid Chachamim and words of Torah pervade your home. Because you'll be left with the reverberations of Torah long after the Chachamim have gone home. In the same vein, the Netziv explains, that's why Yaakov chose to live the Eretz Meguri Aviv. Niskadshu b'Torah v'avodah mikvar. Yeshiva v'chayim v'alei tov lios b'mokom mushur shel Torah v'avodah. That, Rebbe says, is how you inaugurate a house. And that's how you fortify it. Fortunately, the opposite is also true. We have the koach to leave a negative impression on our mokom Torah and our tefillah when we don't heed the call to a proper chanukah sabayis, when we're inconsistent with the charge to devote our shul, based medrash to the purposes that are set aside for, and when we bring in things that are contrary to the ruach of Beis Medrash. Introduce distractions, conversation, bits that don't belong there. It's a violation of Kedushas HaMakom. If you take it to the furthest extent, Zok to Beis HaLevi in Parshas Noach, Kadosh Baruch Hu had to wipe away three tefachim of karka and all the animals because the tumah of the door was so absorbed into the fabric of nature. It was corrupted and needed to be refreshed. Rav Gorelick used to say, it's like pollution in the environment. You can't see it immediately. But in hindsight, the degenerative effect of Averos and Tumah in the surroundings, it's recognizable. It just is. So who's to say? Who's to say, Rabbi Osei? It's a scary thought. If we find occasionally we have difficulty being matzliach, sometimes we have ourselves to blame. Sometimes we have ourselves to blame because we chose, or unfortunately we created a makom that didn't provide, or that doesn't provide, siyat d'shmaya, that a makom steeped in holiness can provide. It's scary. The Gros quote is saying that even a single nail in a building that comes from Gezo is mafriya in the Hatzlachas HaLimud. It's frightening. It's not a coincidence. There are many reasons. But a few years ago, the yeshiva moved all the minyanim that were in the TV rooms and the lounges to Beit Medrash. Because where else do you want to daven? Of course you daven at Beit Medrash. So makom hamukdash l'tefillah Torah. Makes sense. On our level, we need to develop a sensitivity to this. The Gemara says that the bricks and the beams of a person's house ultimately testify about the person's behavior therein. Maybe on a deeper level, the Gemara is saying what we're talking about right now, that the way a person is mechanech bias, based medrash, based akneses, and its personal bias neman as well, it could be with kedusha and integrity or not, chas v'shalom. But whichever type of bias it is, where you daven, where you learn, or where you live, we need to ask ourselves every time we walk in, whose house is this? Whose house is this? It's our house, because it's our house to be makadish, it's our bias to impact, and it's our bias to elevate as well. One or two more quick Hasidish Shemaisim. The story goes that Tannersville, the storied town up in the country where Schefter spends his summers, can go and learn with him. It's really amazing. 30 years ago, the Belzer Rebbe once spent Shabbos there. And he insisted on spending the whole Shabbos afternoon learning in a gazebo in town. Why? Because he was told that 50 years before, Rav Baruch Ber spent Shabbos learning in that gazebo. It's a chassidish maisa and a litvish maisa. One sort of maisa, I think from Rav Shor, Pnei Menachem, I think it was, chassid came to him on the day of his chasana. He said, Rebbe, tell me what I can do. How should I go into my marriage? He said, make a commitment every day to have a seder limud in your home. It'll make a tremendous impact. Years later, his chassid came back with four sons. Introduced the Rebbe to his sons. The Rebbe took one look at them and said, I see you listened to me for the first two sons, and you didn't listen to me the last two sons. A number of years ago, Moreno Harav Shechter Shlita was on the cover of Mishpacha magazine. And among the comments in the interview was a caption placed under a picture of the Old Beis Medrash, quoting the Rav, said to a Talmud, the walls here already know your day. It's amazing when you learn about the Yeshiva's history, when you talk to people who encountered the Gedolim, previous generations who graced our halls. Remember talking to Rav Reichman Eretz Yisrael, and the pachad and reverence on his face when he discussed Rav Moshe Shachskis. I talked to my grandfather. My grandfather was in Smicha in the 40s. In those days, the Smicha Bechinas were done orally with a panel of three Rabbanim. He said he had to take the guys out of the room on stretchers. A pachad, a gedoli olam. In my own mind, I can recall watching Rav Aaron using the last ounces of strength to walk up and down the halls to go to the Beis Medrash to give shir. I've occurs to Rabbi Cohn bring us down there in 11th grade to say Shalom to Rav Aaron. Gedoli olam. For me, one of the most riveting experiences being here in Yom Kippur, not even a davening, but we say the Yizkor for the deceased Rosh Yeshiva. One by one, the list it sends a chill down your spine. Moreno Harav Moshe Halevi ben Moreno Harav Chaim Halevi. Zecher Tzadok Livracha. That's got to shake you up. And it's Godel after Godel after Godel. Look, we'll say, the ruchnis that was left behind in the air that we're breathing here in Yeshiva, imagine what we can accomplish with that. That ruach, the Belzer Rebbe in Rav Baruch Berz Gazebo. To stand on the shoulders of giants, it's mamish, created a mochum for Ali and Hatzlacha here. Comes with great achrayus as well. Had to be mechazek, our singular focus on Dvarim Shebekdusha in our Bate Medrash, because after all, it's our own Hatzlacha that's at stake. To ensure that the environment that we use to daven and learn is dedicated solely to Avodas Hashem. Wherever you learn morning seder, if you're here right now, it's like I got news for you. You know, those walls down the block, they've been learning your day for 90 years. We moved in here less than 10 years ago. We'll say, these are our walls. These are our walls and our achrayus to teach the walls your day, and sukkah, and next year Bava Kama, and Gan Shas, Avodas Hashem. There's so many manifestations of this. Just one practical avoda. Ask yourself, ask me, what happens when you walk into the Beis Medrash a minute too early for a mincha? So what do? Take out your phone and check it again. So now ask yourself what Moreno Harav Shechter Shlita does. Look, he opens up a sitter and starts Ashrei. A bull says, a maisa rava, psak, a chiddush. It's mutter to start Ashrei before the chazan starts. A chiddush. Bullseye. Imagine the mesikus and the mesinus of Shira Tachash Baruch Hu, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Al, Vishvot Seid Benachas. You don't have to imagine. Go closer, Shechter, and listen to the beauty of him saying, Suki the Zimra in the morning, because he came a few minutes earlier than everyone else. Bullseye, it's not in the notes. After Slichas, Rosh Hashanah is here late till 2 o'clock in the morning, and he's still the first person in the Beis Medrash in the morning. Almost. And he's 50 years older than us. Because he wants to come and say, and daven like a mensch. Daven to the Slichas and to the Sinus. And after, if you're waiting for Chazaras HaShatz, you have a few minutes, you take out your phone again. Once he asked the guy, couldn't keep his phone in his pocket till the end of davening. I said, just you know, a few more minutes. He said, what's the difference? If I take it out now, fine, I'll get something done. If I don't, I'll probably just stare into space. Stare into space? When does a Jew have time to stare into space? Nacha Rashi, Nacha Mishnah, something. There's so much to learn. But even more so, there's so much Kedushas HaMakom here to protect and so much integrity of our holy batim that we need to preserve. Two more minutes. It doesn't stop when davening concludes or when the Seder is over. Our dorms, our apartments, they're ready, they're waiting, they're yearning to be soaked with holiness. The holiness that emerges when we act outside of Torah and Tefillah in the right way. When we preserve the Kedusha of the Makomas that we occupy in off hours as well. And one day soon, not just in the dorm, but in your own homes, Mirtz Hashem, when you get married, what do you bring inside? It has to be done with care and thoughtfulness, because again, it's our own Hatzlacha that's at stake, not to mention the Hashvan, our families, and Mirtz Hashem. Final application. This is all close. When it comes down to it, Rabbi Sai, it's not about a particular room or particular building on campus per se. It's something that relates to the broader yeshiva environment. We have a complex institution. And that's not a bad thing. If you look in the dictionary, complex just means it has different pieces. Many of the people in the room, most of the people in the room, almost everyone in the room, we choose to be here because of the Torah opportunities we can enjoy while we're here, and at the same time, the academic and professional opportunities that are juxtaposed. It's not a chiddush. It didn't start when you came to campus. It's not a new thing. But Lamaisa, between these two facets, so sometimes we're bothered by things that rub us the wrong way in the environment, or we feel it's inconsistent with our desire, our effort to grow as many Torah and Yeshiva. But it doesn't mean that someone's maliciously trying to undermine your Yiddishkeit, Chas v'Shalom. But it can still be a challenge, because, again, it's a reality of our complexity, and it exists in the outside world also, being a Jew in the world. That's the complexity. Very simple, straightforward example. A few years ago, Talmidim found that when they went across the street to use the workout room, there was loud music playing, and it wasn't shweki. I remember there were some guys who were sitting around the calf day after day complaining, feeling like someone was out to get them. Love Dafka, no. But there was another bunch of guys who said, you know, we're going to take the initiative with the channels in yeshiva that are designed for this purpose, and we're going to say something. There's going to be a voice for the B'nai Yeshiva, respectfully. And you know what? It was heard. They haven't started playing shweki, but they're not playing anything. I said, a couple of guys said, you know what? A healthy outlet for recreation is also part of my avodas Hashem. I should be able to do it without having to listen to something that I feel is damaging my neshama or whatever. It could be done. There's a voice. There needs to be a voice from the B'nai Yeshiva. It's a true story, but it's a mushel. You can sit around and complain a lot to each other because everyone in YU loves to do that. But I want to suggest that we as Talmidim, and I'm counting myself among everybody here, I'm a Talmud of Yeshiva. We have to ask ourselves, whose house is this? Whose base of Medrash, whose base of Knesset, whose dormitory building, whose yeshiva is this? If there's initiative, if the voice of B'nai Yeshiva is heard, then we can answer that question. And we have a right to respond to that question, that it's our house.
Amen.
To the